Cracking Copy is a marketing and copywriting podcast where we lift the lid on writing for business and read between the lines of effective copy.
This is a podcast for creative entrepreneurs and savvy business owners like you who understand the value that great copy can bring to their bottom line.
We dive into a different aspect of writing for business in each episode, debunk the myths about how we should write, and explore the ways that writing can be fun, conversational, and creative, while also being high impact for serious results.
So listen, laugh, and learn with us, Ella Hoyos and Minnie McBride, as we share our words and wisdom in each snack-sized episode. Expect some light bulb moments, interesting guests, and practical takeaways as we crack the copy code together. Hello and welcome to another episode of Cracking Copy. I'm Ella Hoyos. I'm joined with by Valentina Terecci.
Oh, hi, Ella. It's a real pleasure to be here with you today. So I would like to say hello to everybody.
So Valentina, you're in Italy, but you work for web agency, SEO agency, a lead generation company in the digital marketing space. And you're here today to talk to us about content creation with lead generation in mind and SEO. So the difference between content creation to attract, get visibility, and content creation that actually does something purposeful. And that's what copywriting is about, isn't it? It's designed to get somebody to take an action. And it's very much an active process where we want the reader to actually do something at the end of reading or visiting page. So please introduce yourself, Valentina. Tell me a little bit about your digital web and the role that you play there.
Yeah, sure. So I'm the co-founder of Your Digital Web, that is a SEO and digital marketing agency. We are based here in Italy, but we work worldwide with B2C and B2B brands and companies. And my expertise is content marketing for lead generation. So I create strategies and I love doing things. So I am an operational person. I love follow clients and projects daily. And my expertise is content marketing, yes, but focused on lead generation. So my goal is not just to bring sessions to the website, but to transform these sessions into conversions. So lead, sales, and revenue.
Yeah, okay. That's brilliant. And I see you, Valentina, that you speak on a lot of stages. And you're very much... You're very European in your nature, so you're based in Italy, but you have great grasp of English, and you I think you're quite active all over Europe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I love speaking at conferences, events, also in webinars and podcasts like yours. It's an honor for me, and I'm also an author of three books about content and one about social media marketing. And yes, I like to be a European, not just Italian. So that's why, for example, I decided to write and to communicate only in English on my social channels. For example, you can find me on LinkedIn, where I write only in English because my audience, my target is international.
Yeah, it's very impressive, I have to say. And we'll put the links in the show notes to your website, your social profile, and all that stuff. So,
okay, thank
first
you.
Of all, I've got some questions for you. Let's start with, what is the difference between creating content that's just for branding, compared to content that's for lead generation and SEO, search engine optimization?
So I think that there is not a huge difference between content for branding and content for SEO and lead generation. So, I mean, in both cases, you have to write for your target, for your user. So you have to deeply understand how your target is online, moves online, its customer journey, its pains and gains. So not just how he or she buys online, but all the touch points that connect your customer to your brand, your companies. Of course, if you need to create content for SEO and lead generation, you have to work also on user intents and keyword research. But also, if you think about that, also if you have to write about branding content, because if you write something more related to brand, you need to your content to be found on Google. So that's why I say that there is not a huge difference. Of course, maybe branding content is more out-referential, more promotional one, maybe more storytelling oriented than SEO content. But in both cases, you have to work on two main elements. One, your user, your target, and second, a keyword research, a very well detailed keyword research.
Yes, so I understand. So from a copywriting perspective, from my perspective, I'm very much focused on who I'm writing for, the target audience, yeah, or that ideal client, that ideal customer. And it's really important as a copywriter to understand their motivations, their drivers. Like you say, it's really important to tap into what they need to hear based on what the problems and issues and desires they have. But what you do is add that extra layer on top so that that content gets found.
Think that when creating content, you have always to think about how to solve a problem for your target. So this is a clear example of a very helpful content.
Absolutely. What are the most common errors that people make when creating content for lead generation? What are the mistakes that you see people making?
So the first one is related to your previous question. So maybe sometimes brands, companies don't really know their target. So this is one question I ask to my clients is, but which is your target? So not just demographics. And clients say, I don't know. So that's the first big error. And the second one is to immediately create a very promotional content, but it's just not the solution. So if you want to create a very helpful content, especially if you are a startup or new on your market, you have to work on educational content, entertainment content, engaging content. So you have to work on demand generation and then only the generation. So I think there are many common mistakes.
Yeah, I agree. That's a typical problem, is not really having that understanding, making guesses about who your target audience is, or just looking at the demographic information and thinking that that is enough.
Yeah.
It's a common problem that people don't understand their target audience. People make assumptions, work on assumptions a lot of the time. And I think the way to solve it is with research. And I always, with all my clients, start with the research first and actually find the ideal customers of them, those people, and speak to them, you know, get on a call, do surveys, do desk-based research. And we're not just interested in demographics and how old they are and where they live. It is really about their primary motivations and what drives these people. So I think you have to get to the bottom of that before you can communicate well with your target audience. And then again, to jump in, like you said, to jump in with promotional content and to sell too soon before that customer is ready, recognizing that every potential lead goes through a buying journey. There's an awareness stage, there's a consideration stage, and all these things have to happen before they're even thinking about making a purchase with you. So, you know, it's the classic example of you wouldn't ask somebody to marry you on their on your first date. That would just be outrageous. You know, it's too soon, too yeah. much too soon. You have to
exactly start yeah
softly and slowly. A bit of romance, it takes time to build yeah, up to asking for a sale.
Yeah, it's the perfect image. Yeah, yeah, it's the same thing. So mm-hmm. you have to wait before you think you can sell to people, because before people, your target, your user has to know you, your brand, your values, your key elements, and then maybe he or she would think to buy from you.
Yeah. So how can businesses effectively drive traffic from social media to their website or email list? There's a bit of a jump involved there, isn't there? To get people to stop the scroll and to actually take the action you want them to take, lead them to towards your offerings.
So maybe the easiest way is running ads. So working on advertising, but this is not organic content, of course, is a sponsored one, but I have to be sincere, it's the easiest way to get results in a very short time. On the other hand, we have also helpful content, helpful organic content based on target needs, user research, keyword research. And if you work on organic helpful content, it's true that you will get results in a more in a longer time, of course, but you can gain trust, authority, so mm-hmm. a leadership, so you can you become a leader in your area, in your business, and you can grow your brand reputation, your personal branding, and you can grow it forever. So it's maybe a more difficult activity, creating helpful content instead of running ads, but I know that you have to do it. So mm-hmm. On one hand, you can run ads and get real results in a very short time. But when you finish the budget and you stop your campaigns, you lose every results. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if you work on organic content, of course, helpful organic content, you get results forever, we can say.
Yeah. So would you recommend, you know, those two things have to work in tandem together. There's a yeah. slow burn, organic, value-based content that you need to do to build the trust and to nurture your clients, nurture your leads and prospects. But you're saying the quickest yeah. route to market, if you want the results and you want to convert, or you want people to take the action, visit the website, I think then advertising is really important in that. And that's something that yeah, your agency yeah. helps your clients with, the pay-per-click
yeah,
advertising.
Exactly.
Would you recommend yeah, that a newer business with proven offers, you know, with a valuable offer that people want, they know that there's validation there, it's been tested, there's a demand for their service or their product. Would you recommend, though, that they jump straight into advertising, even if perhaps, you know, they've got a low budget, they're a small business? Is it worth experimenting in early days? Is there anything that you must do before you start advertising as a business?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I would recommend to start working on your leadership content to build authority and trust into your community, if
especially if you have a very small budget. And then you can start to grow your business with ads, with advertising. Because, for example, if you want to reach your target on LinkedIn, you know that LinkedIn is so expensive. So you have to consider a minimum of 100, 200 euros per day on LinkedIn. And a lot of businesses can have such a huge amount of budget for LinkedIn ads. So my suggestion is to work on helpful organic content as the first thing first, so you can build trust, authority, you can grow your brand reputation, and also you can bring targeted sessions to your website. And then when your business is growing, that's when you can invest some money on ads, maybe choosing the right channel for your target and for your business, of course. So I think that you have to choose the right channel, and you don't have to work on every social media, because it's a waste of time and effort and of money. So we can work very well on one, two social media, and we try to do all our best on these two social media.
Yeah. And this is something that you help with your strategic planning hat on, would help a client decide what the best platform is for them. Instinctively, businesses often know what works best for them in terms of where they're getting the most engagement, where their people are hanging out. Is there a minimum spend that you would recommend if you were trying an advertising campaign to drive people to take a course, to take an action, to visit a website? Is there a minimum amount of time and expenditure that a business needs to set aside budget for?
Yeah, so it depends on the channel you're going to use. But in general, if you want to invest on Meta, so Facebook ads, Instagram ads, you need a lower budget than LinkedIn or other platforms. So I suggest to start with 30 euros per day and working for at least 3-4 months. But you can see results into some weeks. If we talk about conversions and leads.
Mm-hmm. But that 3 or 4 months of regular, consistent showing up.
I suggest to continue for 3-4 months while doing a lot of A/B tests. So you have to test your strategy, you have to test copywriting, CTAs, images. So you have to test. So the client has to know that the very first months are for testing.
Yeah, okay, I understand. That was what I was coming to, actually, because I think that's a crucial part. And then you optimize and tweak your adverts as you go, so that you're getting better and better results. Yeah. Presumably, there's a cumulative effect. And by the end of the campaign, you're getting higher conversions because you've done this.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
Testing.
So at the end of the campaign, you know which is the campaign who performed better, and you optimize your budget on that campaign and will stop all the others one.
Yeah, so really honing in on what works and focusing in on what's getting the results, and then dropping the poor performing content. Okay,
exactly.
And then how do we measure, how do businesses measure the success of their content strategy in terms of lead generation and conversions?
I think that the main KPIs are the sessions to the website, of course, but they are not enough. So also the bounce rate, the engagement rate, both on the website and on social media, but also as for email marketing, so newsletters, and also, of course, the number of leads, numbers of quote requests, And also quantitative and qualitative data that are questions about your product or services that you can receive on your social media, for example. So if you are a brand or a business owner and you receive a lot of questions about your services, your product on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, and so on, that is a very great point for you, because we don't have to forget that there are quantitative data, but also qualitative data. And I think that these are the main KPIs that can make you understand if you are doing a great job or not.
That's a lot of data points to track, isn't it? Particularly with the quantitative. But the beauty of digital marketing these days and working in this way is that it is all very measurable, and you know, reports are generated. You can go into the back end of Meta or LinkedIn Analytics or whatever, and you can see in graphs and charts and things what is performing and who, how many, the actual numbers, how many are visiting, how many are bouncing. Just in terms of the bounce rate, could you just explain that to me? What does that mean if a lead is bouncing?
So the bounce rate is a rate that makes you understand if your content is helpful or not. I mean, is the frequency in which your user jumps into your website and exits immediately. So the more this rate is higher, the more you are not doing a great job. So a very great, an average great bounce rate is around 60%, and you can see it on your Google Analytics.
Okay. So it goes without saying, really, the longer somebody spends engaging with your content or on your site, the better. And the quicker they bounce.
It is a very important key to consider, an element to consider, because it can brings you an idea of which kind of content you are delivering and is useful to your target or not. And this is a very advantage, benefit that we can have from Google Analytics. As you told before, in digital marketing, we can measure everything. And it's a very benefit, great benefit, in opposite to traditional marketing, for example. So we have to measure everything, because we have to know where our money has been invested.
Absolutely. We all want the highest return on investment that we can. And your agency, when you work with your clients, you must help them make sense of all this data, because that, to some people, people like me, I'm being very honest here, sometimes it's hard to process all the data. So, you know, to have a guide, to have somebody to help you understand those metrics can be very helpful.
It's very important to do also an analytics reports. And I love it. I love to create the reports with a very data-driven approach, because if you are not able to understand the data, you will not be able to create a very effective, a winning content strategy for your brand.
Yeah, I notice on your website there are lots of case studies where you've helped your clients to grow. Can you give any examples of really effective campaigns that you've run?
So, for example, a client, automotive brand, called us several years ago, and there was nothing, just one person who decided to create this new service, automotive service. And he told us, okay, guys, I need to run my business, to grow my business. Otherwise, my doors will be closed very soon. So we started creating a strategy with a lot of efforts on SEO, Google Ads campaign, campaigns and then Facebook ad campaigns. And now, after 7, 8 years, more or less, this client is also on Italian television. So for us and for him, it's a very great satisfaction, because now he has a lot of money to invest in marketing and in other activities. So we are all very satisfied, and we are honored to work with such a client also, who understood the power of digital marketing, because it's not the same for every client. Also, you have to think about the digital marketing as an investment, firstly, and then as a revenue.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fantastic. Yeah, I can see how that is a win-win situation for you.
Yeah,
the client,
exactly.
The client gets a result, he invests more in his digital marketing, he gets a better result. So fabulous. Now, can we talk a little bit about social media, in particular, yeah, link sharing? Because we all know that having an audience on social media is effectively renting that audience. You don't own it. The social media companies have control. There's an algorithm. They control how much of your content gets seen. Whereas we own channels like our email marketing. There's a lot of advice to start an email list, to grow your list. The money's in the mail. So we know that sending an email is a more powerful way of communicating. It's not affected by algorithms. There's a greater return on investment. So therefore, it does make sense to de-platform, if you like, our social media followers. So to get they find us on social media through YouTube, through Instagram, through Facebook, through LinkedIn. But we then want to move them away from that, don't we? We want to move them onto our website or email list. So in terms of getting our social media followers to take an action, to visit our website, to join our email list, of course, there is advertising that we could do. But when we're talking about organic content and that sort of value-based content, what are the best call to actions that we can use to help de-platform our social media leads and to get them onto our website or particularly our email lists?
So it depends on the channel where you want to write your CTA. But in general, I would suggest to write a very short and straight to the point CTA. And this CTA has to highlight the benefit for the user. So for example, don't write grab your copy of something, of course, but maybe grab your copy and start learning something. So here we highlight the benefit for the user. And I suggest to add your CTA more as a link than with a bottom, a clear bottom, because a recent study shows that the bottom is more related to something that is promotional, so the user doesn't want to add on it, instead of maybe a link that is more natural, is like your copywriting in a post, in a social media post, or in the text of your newsletter. So it's better to add a link.
Ah, yes, that is a very good point. And I've heard that said recently, again, with even things like email newsletters, where you have an email newsletter that's heavily designed with graphics and headings and pictures, that feels like a marketing campaign. And people generally don't necessarily want to be marketed to or sold to, whereas plain text in the body of an email is actually quite effective. It feels more natural, like a conversation. There's no glossy brochure. And so you feel less sold to and more spoken to. And I think that's a really understated tactic, but a powerful one.
Yeah, you got the point.
So Valentina, I have one final question before we leave today, and really it's about this organic content, this value-driven content that we're creating. But how effective is link sharing within a social media post? And we've talked about the value of links and not buttons, but when you share a link in a social media post like a LinkedIn, I believe that the algorithm sort of penalizes you, there's a negative impact of that. Do you have any information?
Yeah, as for my experience, if you link in a post, in a social media post, you are going to decrease your engagement rate. So that's why, for example, a very common use is to add your link on LinkedIn in the first comment, not in the main post. Mm-hmm. And I tested this way to add links, and effectively, if you add your link in the main post, you'll lose your engagement. So please don't do that, because LinkedIn doesn't want you exit from its platform. So it's better to add the link in the first comment, but be aware to highlight the fact that you have the link on the first comment. Otherwise, if you have so many links, your comment, your first comment will be a loser. So be aware of that.
Okay. It's Adele. You either take the hit on the engagement by including the link in the post, or you signpost people to the comments,
So for example, sometimes I add an emoji or something like that to grab the attention of the user, and it's working. So okay. I would suggest to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And do you think all the social media platforms are the same in that regard? They do not want you to leave their platform. In Instagram, often we refer to the link is in the bio and ask people to go back up to the top of the page to get the more information, to go to the next place. Do you encourage that sort of?
Yeah,
do you think that works?
Yeah, on Instagram, the link on the bio can be useful for the user, because he or she can find immediately the link to the content you are promoting, for example, through a story or a post or a reel. So it can be useful. But every social wants to keep you inside them. So please remember this algorithm issue when creating your content on social media.
And I mean, that does add friction to the process. So if you're asking a reader to not only read your post, but then to go and find your link in the profile, often that you will lose naturally a percentage of readers just won't take that action. But there are some really cool tools now. For example, ManyChat. I don't know if you've come across that in your...
I know it,
which seemed to be really effective at the moment. It's still quite novel, quite new, but you can just respond to... The call to action is just reply party in the comments. Yeah. And if you say the word party in the comments, then you're going to get a guide to hosting an amazing party that will be sent to you in your DMs. So I think that sort of tool is really useful now to overcome the friction associated with stopping what you're doing and then taking a very specific action.
Of course. Yeah. Also, because if you use a lot of your links in bio, maybe you don't think about that, but you are asking two CTAs to your client. One, to read your post or watch your stories, and the other one to click on your link in bio. And it's a wrong way to do lead generation, because I suggest to ask just only one CTA to your user, one per time.
Yeah. So the more simplified you can make it, the better, the easier. Ultimately, it's about creating a great user experience, and we have to put the reader or the visitor in mind first and what makes it easy for them to take the
absolutely
action. Okay, Valentina, it's been excellent talking to you today. Thank you so much for coming on to Cracking
for
Copy.
Me too.
Where
it's a very
people...
pleasure to be here.
Oh, thank you. And where can people find out a bit more about your digital web and how you can help them?
Yeah, so you can find me on my website, that is yourdigitalweb.com. We have a release in Italian, but also, of course, a release in English with a blog only in English, because we also worked with international clients. And if you want to connect with me, please add me on LinkedIn, where I am very active every day.
Perfect. Valentina, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Ella. Thank you, everyone.
You have been listening to the Cracking Copy podcast with Ella Hoyos and Minnie McBride.
Don't miss out on future episodes by making sure you hit subscribe down below to keep up with all our podcasts.
And more details and resources are in our show notes.
So we'll see you next time.